Welcome to the weekend edition of the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. Today's podcast features all the best segments from this week's slate of Undisputed. With in-depth interviews and discussions, we have a lot to talk about heading into next week. Skip, Shannon, let's get to it. Welcome to Undisputed, live from Los Angeles. I'm Jenny Taft, here with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp. Morning, you two.
You can't cram on me. Huh? Nah, you got to do your homework to face O'Shea Sharp. You need to do that. Skip, you come to class this morning trying to cram.
Mm-mm. So, Jenny, just before the show, Shannon's got a huge entourage out here. I have no entourage, and he tells his entourage, I don't need anything to drink today. Is that a sign of overconfidence or overhydration? I don't know. What is
feeling
it?
Good.
What does that mean?
If you notice, I don't ever come on air writing cramming last minute. This thing is done.
I usually don't, but I just had a brainstorm about one last point I could drive home in this A block we're about to do
the
here.
Really?
The barn, that
Jenny.
Would bury you.
The hay in the barn, Jenny.
I see preparation. I see maybe panic. Mm. No, just kidding.
You ain't got nobody. You all alone.
I don't have an entourage. I don't have any help. I don't have any Jenny. I don't have nothing.
Nothing. You're just here
but I will
all
do
alone.
Yeah.
I thought we made strides yesterday, but I guess we're back to zero.
I keep telling you, Jenny. I keep telling you.
He doesn't want to hear that because he saw it and he knew what was coming.
Well, let's hear what you were just writing down there. On today's show, more drama in New England, more panic in Dallas, and hey, more complaints about roughing the passer calls. But let's start with LeBron. He was introduced to the masses at Lakers Media Day this week. Most Laker fans and Shannon are happy that LeBron is in LA, but some are still on the fence about the King. LeBron was asked yesterday about winning the fans over. Let's take a listen.
LeBron, the LA fan base, how do you expect to earn their respect and earn their loyalty?
Who, me?
The fan base, yes.
Me?
Yes, you.
Huh?
What do you say to the fans that say they want to see you and earn their respect?
I'll sign a 4-year deal. How much more? I mean, what do you want me to do?
Yeah. That's fine. I mean, we talked to them outside of here yesterday.
Listen, I signed a 4-year deal. I'm here, so. I mean, I know what I bring to the table on the floor.
It had to be asked. Shannon, what do you make of this?
He should have been frustrated. He looked as if he was frustrated because it's a ridiculous question, Skip. You know it's a ridiculous question.
I don't know that. Am I speaking yet, Jim?
No, you're not speaking. I don't know why you're speaking now.
Why are you putting words in my mouth before I speak?
I ain't putting nothing. I just said,
I don't think it was a ridiculous question. Go ahead.
It's like he's auditioning to play for the Lakers. Skip, I get it. It's one of the two or three most prominent franchises in all the NBA. But LeBron James doesn't owe the Lakers anything to play for them. You know, Magic did come over to his house, sit in his driveway for 30 minutes before the hour in which he could talk to him. Mm-hmm. Magic Johnson did do that. So what is Rob Pelinka going to do to earn the Lakers' loyalty, fans' loyalty, to show that he can do the job that he has? Oh, he doesn't have to. All LeBron.
He's going to go get LeBron. That's what he's going
to
do.
Oh, so in other words, all he has to do is do his job to earn their loyalty. But LeBron James has to do something else other than his job. The guy's an 11-time all-11 consecutive time.
Doesn't matter.
All-NBA.
All history starts over. Update your resume, says Shannon Sharp.
This is what I
do. Do you not tell me that?
I tell you that every day.
Thank you.
This is what I tell guys coming into the NFL or any sport. I say you play for three things, and if you play for these things in this order, you probably won't have any problems. I say you play for your teammates' respect, you play for your coach's trust, and you play for the fans' appreciation. Because the guys that see you every day, the reason why they respect LeBron James, the reason why his teammates respect Tom Brady, they see how hard he worked. He shows up every day. He's an hour and a half earlier. Early for practice. They see what he does in the training room. They see the intricacies and the details that he puts into his craft, a la Tom Brady. Pliability, where he works in the offseason, and you saw what he did in Tom versus Time. That's what you want. The coaches, you want them to trust. You know what? I can lay my head on this pillow. I know that this game plan that we implemented, that LeBron James or Tom Brady or one of these greats are going to carry it out. And when you do those things, guess what? The fans appreciate your hard work. When they watch you on that court or they watch you on that field, I appreciate the hard work. I appreciate the diligence. Because everybody's not respected in the locker room because they see some guys arrive late and leave early. LeBron James is just the opposite of that. So his teammates will respect him. You know what, Skip? He signed a 4-year deal. Now, he signed a 6-year deal in Miami, but he could opt out after the 5th year. That's what he did. He didn't sign a four-year deal with the Cleveland because he didn't trust Dan Gilbert. And eventually it came to fruition, and he said, you know what, I need to get him up out of here. He signed a four-year deal with no options. Skip Bayless, we need to stop this. Laker fans, LeBron James chose to come play for this organization. Loyalty, appreciate what you have. Just appreciate it. LeBron doesn't owe you, he doesn't owe loyalty. Really? Is that where we are now, Skip Bayless? Stop it, Skip. You know this. Fans, just appreciate this. LeBron is not auditioning for you. Just enjoy what you've been watching for the last 15 years and know that it's your own now. Instead of rooting against him when he came for in the Miami Heat uniform or Cavaliers uniform, now, 42 times a year, he's going to be in your building. You get to clap and applaud greatness. Because he'll be on a nightly basis with Ole Miss Dribble Dub. She'll be in the old blood bottom with that old Hermes bag sitting right beside of Jenny T.
I know.
They, every night. And after, guess where he going, Skip? Opera. I want to stop it off on his way home. Yeah.
Paparazzi trailing.
Don't worry about it. He been dealing with paparazzi since he was 15.
Pacino and DiCaprio waiting for a little post-game meal.
Shea Sharp might be in the cut.
A little shop talk afterwards about the next movie deal they're
going
to
make. We got a project going on.
I got it. Shannon Sharp, you have, as usual, completely swung and missed the point about your man, LeBron James. This is a brave new world for LeBron James. This isn't Cleveland. This isn't Miami. When LeBron went to Miami, what happened? Was there big history in Miami? No. The history in Miami was just Dwayne Wade history. He had won their one championship. Am I right about that?
Yes.
And as soon as Dwayne Wade blessed LeBron and said, I want my best friend LeBron to come play with me, and we want Chris Bosh to come play with us, Heat Nation was all in because there's nothing to live up to except to Dwayne Wade, right?
Right.
He was Wade County, right?
Yep.
This is different. You can't just walk in the door and say, Laker Nation, I'm here. Worship me. I'm LeBron. They're not going to do it.
Did he say that?
Yes, he did. That's basically what he was saying. So the reporter didn't ask the wrong question. She just asked it the wrong way. There was a way to get to that question because it was a really good. In fact, it was the question that LeBron is facing right here, right now with the Lakers. The question should have been based on, LeBron, how did you feel about those two murals that got defaced depicting you in the pantheon of Laker greats? Remember that? Yeah. That wasn't that long ago.
Yes.
Two of them, back to back, got defaced because there's a big contingent of Laker Nation, hardcore. They've won 16 championships here in Los Angeles. These Lakers have, that's a lot of championships. Yeah. That's a lot of history that did not include anything LeBron James. So if all of a sudden you paint him into the pantheon with Magic and Shaq and Kobe and Kareem and on and on and on, there's a big element of Laker Nation. We've had one big representative, Ice Cube, has sat right here and just said, hey, I'm sorry, I'm not in yet until you show me. You got to show me a championship. You got to show me, LeBron. It starts over right here, right now. So what she was asking was exactly right, but she should have pinned it to the murals or she should have pinned it to the very recent Shaquille O'Neal quote. If we could show that quote, this was said to the Lakers official podcast by Shaquille O'Neal. And the question was about, can LeBron now be included as a potential Laker great? And he said, to use your phrase that you used earlier, stop it. You can't come here and play 1 year and be involved in the conversation for best Laker ever. Stop it. Are you kidding me? This is Shaquille O'Neal. No disrespect to LeBron. He's a great player. But you can't come here 1 year and be in that conversation. Listen, Magic, Worthy, Kobe, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain, that's a lot. It's a lot of history, and that's what he's facing right here. So his clock starts over, and you can't have it both ways.
Whoa.
You can't. You can't say, worship me, while you're also saying in the next breath, be patient, because we got a bunch of kids here. They don't want to hear patient. They don't want to hear
With the exception of Magic Johnson, how long was Shaq here before he won?
I don't know, what was it?
You know, he got here in 96.
Yeah.
They won their first title in what year, Skip Bayless?
2000.
Oh, okay.
All right, so he would be included in this. You can't include Shaq in this conversation until he shows you.
But
did he show you when he started showing you? Yes, he did.
But here's the thing, Skip. LeBron is not here for 1 year. He's here for 4 years.
Okay.
And you make it seem like LeBron is showing up as Dwight Howard.
Okay, no, but LeBron said, I gave you 4 years. How dare you ask me that question? Well, dare, because you got to show them. They don't care. You can't ask Laker Nation to be grateful that you gave them 4 years. You wouldn't give Cleveland more than 1 year.
Skip, the Lakers wanted him.
Sure they did.
So, let me ask you a question.
I mean, Magic said before he signed LeBron that his job was on the line. That was
a job saver. Let me ask you a question. Do they trust Magic? Are they loyal
as a GM or as a player?
I'm asking.
As a GM, I don't think they trust him at all because they were not seeing enough signs of progress.
What you mean?
Well, they weren't.
That's my point.
Okay, you were all out on Lonzo last year, and that was that was Magic's big number two overall pick.
I just don't see in Lonzo what you see.
Okay, fine. But again, that's what Laker Nation is not seeing also. So they're saying Magic is a GM? We're not sure. Magic is a coach? Bust.
Yeah. But, oh,
right?
But then guess what happened on the foot? Like you said, I give you a prime example. Now, you say Coach Belichick, what was his record before he got Tom Brady? Mm-hmm. And then he got Tom Brady.
Yep.
Now, what's Magic's resume going to be once he got that guy?
Okay.
That's the guy of all guys.
Okay.
There have been a lot of free agents, but none of them has been that guy.
Okay.
So, all Skip, I'm
saying. So, that's the start.
But here's the thing. Let me ask you this. If LeBron James just do what he's done the previous 15 years, how in the hell can the Laker fans find fault in that?
Well, is he going to do that? I don't know. Jury's out yet. We got to see it to believe it. So, here's the point. Here's the difference. LeBron is just saying, I'm here, worship me, LA.
No, LeBron didn't say that.
Well, that's basically what he said to her question. No, he shot her down.
Yeah, he should have.
Me?
He should have.
Me?
That's exactly.
Me?
Yeah, exactly. Or what should you do? She didn't mention the murals. She didn't mention what Shaq said.
No, nope. I'm saying that might have been a better way to ask the question.
Well, maybe you should have asked that question and not her.
Okay.
But she asked the question.
Jenny would have asked that question.
Well, Jenny would have, but Jenny wasn't there. Jenny was busy. Jenny was training yesterday, getting in shape.
Thank you. Yes, I was.
Jenny working hard.
Did you?
Really sore.
Together? I don't know. Did she go with you to train?
No.
I don't know. That's what you're suggesting.
I didn't suggest.
I don't know.
That's what he said.
I don't know.
Jenny, you see?
I know.
How do you know she
tries
was training?
To give me a compliment and then.
Because we do, like, in the break, when you go back and be by yourself and be all standoffish.
I go on my island.
Yeah, go get over there. But Skip, you need to stop that LeBron James somehow needs to, what's the word? Audition. For their loyalty.
Okay. Well, what does Laker Nation see? So the day after he signed, was LeBron, did he show you urgency? Did he show you drive? Did he show you commitment? Was he at the Laker facility the next day at 5 o'clock in the morning?
No, because you couldn't sign until a week later.
Okay. Well, when I'm talking about after the first day after he signed, the next thing I know, he's with his family in Italy.
Yeah,
and then the next thing
I
know, he's in Germany. And then the next I know, he's
kinda
in France.
Kind of like Tom Brady.
Wait a second.
We're in Monaco.
Okay, but this
Qatar.
Is different. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to get to that. And then the next thing I hear, he's in China. And the next thing, he's in Las Vegas 1, 2, 3 times. And then he's at Fashion Week in New York. Is he committed? Is he all
Is Tom Brady committed?
Okay. Well, hold on just a second. Okay. Is he all in with his new Laker teammates? They're all new. He hasn't played with any one of these players on this roster. So did he show you drive? Did he show you dedication?
Yes.
Did he show you crazed?
Yes.
As in, I'm going to show you?
Yes.
Right, did he?
Yes.
I didn't see any of that.
You see?
I bet you can count on one hand how many times he showed up at the Laker facility before the last 2 days when he had to be there.
Hey,
I will bet you.
I don't worry about what he do at the facility. I worry about what he do when he's away from the facility.
Because a young LeBron might have been there every day with his new teammates saying, we got to jumpstart this.
Nah,
we got to get a head start on this.
LeBron says, I got to make sure LeBron's right. And LeBron's get right. Because let me ask you a question. All these new guys that Tom Brady's throwing to, so how is that helping him when he's in Qatar? How is that helping him when he's in Monaco?
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Is Tom Brady with a new team with all new teammates this year? Help me out, Jenny. Is that happened?
No, that's
true.
Sonny Michel.
I don't think
What about these new what about these new receivers that he got? What about Kenny Britt and Eric?
Well,
all these guys.
He was with a whole bunch of guys there last year.
You see what you did? You keep talking about was he with a new team?
Did he start over? Did he go to Pittsburgh this year where they had a rich legacy of championships? Did he go to Green Bay and say, I'm here, worship me? Did he start over with another franchise?
Is he throwing to new receivers? Now, you're complaining about he doesn't have anybody. These are new guys. They're playing new positions.
Did LeBron James walk into a situation in which the coach despises him and
wants
him gone?
No, this ain't about no coach.
Tom Brady went on vacation was the coach is trying to undermine him. And I think Magic Johnson and Luke Walton, they are genuflecting. They're down on their knees saying, what can we do for you, LeBron, to make you happy?
Grab another one. Grab another one. That sounds like an excuse to me, Jenny. All I'm asking you a simple question. Was Tom Brady in the offseason working out with his teammates?
No, he was not. He
so he's with his family, right?
No, he did
so now LeBron James doesn't get an opportunity to hang out with his family.
Okay, but he's starting over in a completely new situation. So if you don't show Laker Nation you're all in from the start,
let me ask you a question.
I will bet you this. I will bet you Tom Brady had more workouts with his current teammates than LeBron did in the offseason.
Let me ask you a question.
Because he still had a whole bunch of them when he came back.
If you don't mind me asking. Okay, what plays were they going to be running?
What plays?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
LeBron and his new teammate. So
you got to just play 5-on-5. Go up and down. Learn their rhythm. Learn their moves. Learn what they like.
So
learn where they like the basketball.
So what are they doing right now?
Okay, well, it's late in the process.
No, it ain't late in the process.
What did Chris Paul and James Harden do all offseason last year? I believe every day they were right up the road at UCLA here in Westwood.
Because those two
guys. They were trying to learn each other's rhythms.
Because both
How
of those
can we share the basketball?
Both of those guys are going to be the primary ball handlers.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So think about what LeBron is trying to do. He wants it both ways, cake and eat it too.
That's
he wants his Laker cake and he wants to eat it too.
Who buy a cake and just look at it?
Well, this is he's just actually trying to look at this cake.
No, he ain't.
He is downplaying everything. He said yesterday, 2 days ago, he said, we're a long way from Golden State. Laker
Which
Nation does not want to hear that.
Mm. We got where Laker Nation's coming from. They hear shit here, anything.
Laker Nation is sitting back saying, we got the best player in the world on our team. And the best player is saying, we got no shot against Golden State. And then he's talking, how about preaching patience yesterday? Did you hear the quote about patience
yes.
and his kids? Could we hear that just to remind our viewers of what he said yesterday, please?
I'd like to.
I would like to.
I guess I got to bring in the approach that I get from home. You know, when you have three kids, you have to be patient. And you have to understand that. And I'm not calling these guys kids because there are young men here. And some, you know, these men have families as well. But you learn that you have to be patient and you have to gauge everyone, you know, individually very different, you know, to get the most out of them. So. You know, it will be a learning. It will be every day will be a better learning tool for me to see, you know, ways I can get the most out of each and one of these guys.
I'm here, Laker Nation. Worship me, but be patient because it's going to take a long time. These kids are just kids. They got families.
If you don't
but
mind me
just
asking,
kids.
Can you tell me last?
You like
time?
To hear that? Do you think Laker Nation is loving that?
Skip.
I promise you, Ice Cube is not loving that.
When would the Ice Cube want to go to the playoffs? When the last time Lakers been to Laker Nation been to the playoffs? When the last time they sold playoff tickets in Laker Nation?
Okay. That's
now,
why Magic was on the clock and on the hot seat.
He was on the clock.
Yeah.
But if you look at Tom Brady, he's always talking about, come on, guys, we need one drive. He's on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's he preaching? Come on, Skip, what is he asking for?
Well, not patience. I can tell you that.
Oh. You see, Skip, the thing is with you is that you excuse everything Tom does.
And I don't excuse him.
Oh, yeah, you excuse him.
He just lives up. He's the reigning MVP. He broke the all-time playoff record for yards passing in the Super Bowl.
And him and LeBron James met the same fate when it came down to it.
He didn't run to L.A. and try to start a second career as an actor and a producer. He didn't do that. He stayed in New England.
Skip.
He's still there, 18 years in New England.
It's hard for me to believe that if LeBron James had ever had a Pat Riley or a Phil Jackson or a Red Auerbach, rest his soul, if he had had a Pantheon great coach, he would have left. It's hard for me to believe that. Mm-hmm. We never know. It's easy to say, and I don't like to be one with if he did. But I'm just saying, it's hard for me to believe. He wanted to leave. Didn't he threaten to retire? Oh, why would Tom Brady threaten to retire, Skip Bayless?
Because Bill Belichick
was trying to undermine him. I don't want to hear because he's with a great organization.
He tried to give Gronkowski away to Detroit, to two more of his sons, now the coach and the GM in Detroit.
When did Tom Brady
tried to give your best receiver, the guy you say is unguardable, right?
But let me ask you a question.
Huh.
When did Tom Brady become the guy that we need to confer to about making personnel decisions? Tom Brady is the same as Rob Gronkowski. He's a player. Bill Belichick's job is to get this team better. And if he failed...
What did Bill Belichick do with Tom Brady's deep threat from last year? He had one deep threat. What? Brandon Cooks, then what happened, Shannon?
Hello. Why didn't
he traded him to LA? Why would he do that?
You know what I'm noticing?
Why
didn't he go upstairs and fight for Brandon Cooks like he did to get Jimmy Garoppolo out of there.
I don't doubt that he did.
No, he didn't.
And I don't doubt that he went up and fought for Danny Amendola, who is now a Miami Dolphin, and they're coming to Foxborough 3-0. And guess who the leading receiver is for the Miami Dolphins? Guess who Tom Brady really misses? Danny Amendola. Mm-hmm. Is Bill Belichick not trying to undermine? How can you even compare their situation? How can you compare a guy who's won 5 Super Bowls and should have won 7 to a guy who's 3-6 in the finals and got swept by Golden State? And melted down after game one.
How
can you compare?
Why does Tom Brady always get the benefit of the doubt that he should have won 7 when he could have easily lost 3 or 4?
But that's not the guy who gets the most protection by the national media is this guy, LeBron James, who clearly is trying to take 1 year off from the pressure. It's clear what he did because there was no plan B. I kept waiting. What's your plan B, LeBron? Do you have it lined up where Paul George is coming, or is they got a Kawhi trade in the works? No. Is there a second star in L.A.?
LeBron.
You know why?
LeBron, trust me.
He wanted 1 year off. He wanted to lower the expectations of the pressure, and I cannot condemn him for this because he's been to 8 straight finals, but it was always that cakewalk through the East. So he said, you know what? I just need 1 year off. Before we start to ramp up next year when we add our second star, and I'm going to take the 1 year to enjoy my family, to enjoy my new estate in Brentwood, and to enjoy the fact that I'm in Hollywood.
So in order for your theory to be true, that would mean that Magic Johnson did not try to land Paul George, that Magic Johnson did not try to trade for Kawhi, that Magic Johnson did not try to acquire another superstar.
Those machinations are engineered by LeBron James.
I'm just asking you.
That's the guy. That's who had to go get somebody, had to go talk somebody into coming with him. And Everybody said no.
Hold on. But hold on. It was you that reported that you got it from a very good source that LeBron James reached out to Kevin Durant.
He did.
So, in other words, he wasn't looking for a vacation. He wasn't looking for a sabbatical because he was reaching out to people.
But he knew that was the longest shot.
Okay. He reaches out. That's a long shot. He doesn't reach out. He doesn't care. He just wants a sabbatical. Which is, you got to pick one side of the fence and stay on
it. I'm staying on it. He's not chasing Michael Jordan anymore. He's chasing Michael B. Jordan. Michael B. Jordan. He's Hollywood now. He's got 18.
If you're in front of the car, why you want to chase the car?
On IMDb, he's got 18 producer credits.
Are you upset that Michael doesn't have 18 credits?
Michael who?
Jordan.
I don't care.
Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
I hope he has none.
Hold on.
He's got 6 rings and no losses in the finals. That's all that matters.
I'm trying to figure this out. You say you don't care, but you keep mentioning about LeBron's credits. Why do you keep bringing that up?
What I don't care about? I care about LeBron.
Care about on that basketball court.
He is semi-retired. He earned the right to do that.
Care about what's on that basketball court.
Boy, he's
universally regarded. When people talk, nobody says, this guy's the best. They say this guy's the best player in the NBA.
Yeah, and he came obsessed to try to win this year with these kids, right? No, he didn't. His first couple of times in succession at the Laker facility are almost in October.
Okay, and?
It's a little late in the process.
Tom Brady didn't show up until June.
He had some workouts.
Or June. He didn't show up to the facility. Remember, he's staying away from the facility.
The coach tried to run him off.
I don't care.
If he's
such a team guy,
I care.
Oh, if he wasn't the best interest of the team, he got to show up.
You know,
put their pride aside. Yeah. Their pride been hurt.
Yeah. I could tell you guys came right to do that.
Yeah, his pride been hurt. Oh, Cole Belichick. Cole Belichick said, I got this old pink slip for you, Tom.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
That was really a good question that reporter asked.
That wasn't a good question.
Good. And she pushed him.
She
kept,
Listen
to Jenny.
Jenny knows.
Fans loyalty. She's been there and done all that.
You don't ask no questions about no fans loyalty.
I might have to head over
Baker,
there.
Oh, Baker, what are you going to do to earn the fans loyalty in Cleveland?
It doesn't just happen overnight.
What do you do? Mm. You play.
Yeah, you play.
Oh, exactly.
Well, we haven't seen him yet. So he's got something.
Oh, you ain't seen anybody at work?
But
hold on. But we so sure what Baker, now you believe in Baker.
I do.
Because what you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but he hadn't done that in Cleveland.
What are we even talking about Baker Mayfield in the same breath with the guy he's in his 16th year?
It's too soon to go there for Baker.
Killing folk ever since he stepped in the NBA.
Lord have no mercy.
Kevin Durant has won 2 NBA titles and was named Finals MVP both times since coming to Golden State, but he thinks he deserves more respect on the defensive end. Rudy Gobert won the Defensive Player of the Year award last year while KD finished in 9th place. That omission doesn't sit well with KD, and he spoke about that yesterday. Let's take a listen.
You know they're not going to give me anything. Even if it's on the fence, I have to be clear-cut better than everybody for me to even get a look. So,
why do you think that is?
I mean, it's just pure hate for me, obviously, and no appreciation for my real skill for the game. But I get it. I understand where we're coming from. I understand what we have here in this building that scares everybody. Accolades, that stuff, that stuff is kind of long gone for me, unless it's like, you know, finals or something like that, where it's probably pretty even. But, you know, regular season awards, I mean, I'm never going to get a look when it comes to that, especially playing here for the Warriors.
He's saying pure hate, Shannon. Should KD have gotten a few more Defensive Player of the Year considerations?
Mm-hmm. Okay, you give him a few more, but he shouldn't have won the award. Mm. See, Kevin Durant thinks because he's improved in something, he should win the award. Mm. Because we never saw Kevin Durant play defense like this in OKC. Now, he's come the last 2 years. He's been a very good help defender. I don't look at Kevin Durant as a great on-ball defender. He's the third best on-ball defender on his own team. Klay Thompson and Draymond Green are way better defenders than Kevin Durant.
We're talking about rim protecting.
So is he a better rim protector than Rudy Gobert or Anthony Davis or Joel Embiid, the guys that finished ahead of him? He is absolutely – it is not your turn to talk. Why are you talking?
Me,
no, I did not.
Jenny, how can I not answer a question? Who are you asking, the wall?
I'm asking the people at home. Oh. That's what, you know what? That's why when we have a poll, I always win. Because I'm engaged.
I know. Every poll, it wouldn't matter who's sitting across from me, I would lose. Jenny could be sitting across from me, I would lose.
Because your argument is flawed. Mm-hmm. Skip, look.
Arguments are flawed.
Kevin Durant thinks because he's improved and he's vastly improved his help defense. As I said earlier, we never saw this side of Kevin Durant in OKC. But because you improved at something, Skip, doesn't mean you should win the award. Mm. And this is something that you have to build towards. That's normally how it works, Skip. Draymond Green just didn't all of a sudden win the award after 1 year of great defense. He built and built. Klay Thompson has the toughest job on that team because he's still asked to score 20. And he has to guard.
He's not asked to. He can score.
But he gets his 20.
Yeah.
But he has to guard James Harden. He has to guard Russ. He normally guards.
His 20 are not necessary. If they come, that's fine.
But that's what makes them unbeatable.
Yep.
Is that when he gets his 20 and the other guy's going to get 25 to 30 apiece, Steph and KD. Mm-hmm. But his
Klay can get five and defend the best player on the other team.
And that's what he has to do. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant is not having to guard. Now, there have been some times he gets in the pick and roll and he has to guard James Harden or he'll have to guard Russ. But more times than not, that assignment goes to Klay. Mm-hmm. Skip, you like to use this in win shares.
Mm-hmm.
KD was 88.
Mm-hmm. In the regular season.
In regular season, 88.
What was he in the playoffs?
Skip.
Wait, you don't have the answer to that.
Hold on.
Your researcher stopped cold at the finish line of the regular season. There's this thing called the playoffs.
There are fewer.
And Kevin Durant once again won the Finals MVP. Keep going. What did he tell
you? But there are fewer teams that are in the playoffs. Oh. The regular season, there are 30 teams.
Yes, but aren't there better teams in the postseason?
Doesn't mean there are better defenders.
Oh, yes, it does. They usually go hand in hand.
So let me ask you a question. Where did he finish in his own team in defensive win shares? Was he ahead of Klay? Was he ahead of Draymond?
He was seventh in the whole playoffs in defensive win shares. That's pretty great.
And two of the guys that finished in front of him was on his own team. Mm. So two guys that play better defense are more responsible for win shares than defense, and you should win the award over them. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe he has a gripe, Skip. He didn't make any of the All-NBA teams. Okay, I get it. But you can't sit here and say that he was a better defender than Rudy Gobert or Anthony Davis.
I would not.
So, and he's right. The likelihood of him winning an MVP in Golden State is probably going to be very hard, Skip, because LeBron really should have won that first year in Miami. But they gave it to Derrick Rose. And LeBron had, like he said, KD said, I got to be spectacular. I got to go ahead. And it's got to be clear cut. Well, LeBron took that out. LeBron made it clear cut the next 2 years and won the MVP. And when it was close, Kevin Durant won a few more games than he did. Kevin Durant won the MVP.
Yep.
So that's just the way it goes. But look, most great players will always find a way to feel they're being slighted. Mm. So it keeps that edge on them.
That is correct.
So they can keep bashing people over the head. Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't think I can do this? Well, let me show you. Now, people said, well, KD couldn't play defense. Now he's turned himself into a very good help defender, a very good rim protector. Mm-hmm. He was more apt to challenge shots now than he ever was. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, hey, Sometimes they get him and they flush on him, mm-hmm. but a lot of times he pinned their shot to the backboard or he gets the shot at his apex. So I give him credit for that, but I don't really know why he's complaining because he has no argument in this debate. He's not the best defender in the league. He shouldn't have won the Defensive Player of the Year. So I get it. He's on Golden State. It's going to make it hard for him to win MVP, but there's no way. I don't really know what his argument is about this award.
Boy, you spoke a long time helping me make my case that I'm about to make because it's fascinating to me. You are acknowledging publicly on live national TV that Kevin Durant is a really good defender. You said that he's a very good rim protector. I just quoted what you just told me. Very good rim protector. You actually put him at least in the conversation with the best defenders in pro basketball, right? And that was the question he got asked on this radio show. It was putting him at least in the conversation. Why are you not in the conversation? Well, isn't it fascinating and revealing that the two radio hosts are thinking, why weren't you at least in the conversation, right?
But you also got to tell the fans at home, who did those radio hosts, who do they work for?
Well, they don't work for...
But they are where?
They're in the Bay Area.
Okay.
True.
Okay? All right. Well, and again, they love their team, and I get that. But they're stating what to me is very obvious, that Kevin Durant at least deserved a little consideration.
He got some votes. He finished ninth.
I know. So he's at least in the conversation.
Okay. So what's the argument?
So if we put him in the conversation, and by the way, he finished fifth in blocks last year in the NBA. Fifth in blocks.
Okay.
And ahead of him, your guy, AD, right?
Gobert.
No, AD, represented now by Unclutch, but...
Don't do that, Skip Bayless. You upset that D about to get on that report card, aren't you? That's you're going to be sick next year. Next year this time, you'll be really sick.
AD, Capella, Miles Turner, and Embiid. Okay. So that's kind of elite company where you're saying, okay, you have arrived as a defender that you were not in Oklahoma City.
Correct.
So think about this. He's now one of the best defenders. Okay, can we say he's a top 10 defender? Is that possible? Top 12? I don't know.
Yes,
Somewhere up in there. Okay. So if you combine that with back-to-back finals MVP, 2+2 equals best player in pro basketball because we know LeBron, defense for LeBron is now an afterthought at best because he finished in defensive win shares what in the regular season?
It was 300 and something.
308th. So LeBron James is one of the worst defenders in pro basketball.
Skip, the argument that then I would just put it back to you. If you switch positions, you put LeBron with Golden State, the way it's assembled, with Steph, Clay, and Draymond, and you take Kevin Durant and you put him in Cleveland, is there any difference in the outcome?
If LeBron were a Golden State Warrior right now, he would play zero defense.
No, that's not what I'm asking.
He wouldn't even cross half court.
He
would just stay at the
other end. But that's not what I'm asking.
He'd say, you four do it.
Okay, I get that. Okay, he wouldn't play any defense. But would the outcome have been any different if LeBron had teamed up with those other three and you put KD on Cleveland? Would the outcome have been any different?
Yeah. KD on Cleveland would have won game one last year and we would have been off to the races. We would have had a very competitive finals because KD would have closed that deal.
Skip. They would not.
Do you ask me? I just told you what would happen. That's what I believe would happen.
Do you realize how many open threes that Steph and Clay would have gotten if LeBron James is the point guard and Steph doesn't have to worry about handling the ball? He can just go spot up and Clay can just go spot up. Can you? Those open threes that JR was missing, those open threes that George Hill, those open threes that Kevin Love.
Korver is one of the best 3-point shooters in history.
But how did he do in this finals? I think he made a total of 3 in 4 games. Come on, Skip, now. Let's be fair. Look, nobody's trying to take anything. KD is the second best player in basketball. There's no arguing that. Okay, you can if you like AD, if you like Steph, okay. But I'm taking KD. But Skip, I don't understand where he has an argument in this one.
So you know what the irony of this is? That the guy who's won back-to-back finals MVP, who's a top 10 defender, who is on by far the best team in pro basketball, still has a giant chip on his shoulder when he was the guy who left Russ behind and pulled off the ultimate, if you can't beat him, join him, right?
Yeah.
And much of the NBA world probably has not quite forgiven Kevin Durant for that. We still hear from various people like there's no way. Who was it the other day? I can't remember who was saying, you know, I just can't acknowledge that he. Oh, it was Clyde Frazier. Said, I just can't even begin to acknowledge him because look what he did.
You want to put an asterisk.
Put an asterisk beside Kevin Durant.
But he has to get some love, Skip. He's been voted twice finals MVP.
Yeah.
But those same people vote for the regular season MVP.
Yeah, what was was his line about that? You can't help it when it gets to that level because mm-hmm. he's so good that it's just undeniably
right.
good.
Right.
Like it's not spread out over a whole regular season.
But let me ask you a question. Had they given that award to Steph Curry this year, would you have been upset after what Steph did?
Given the finals award?
Yes.
No.
Exactly.
But I thought Kevin, listen, in back-to-back game threes in LeBron's
yes.
house, he stood tall, man. He took those games over.
The game three this year is what won it for him.
It did.
Because Steph and
yeah.
Klay did not play well,
no.
and I'm being nice and polite mm-hmm. with that. They played awful. But Kevin Durant kept them close, and at halftime, Kevin told Steph Curry, I got you. I got you.
Okay. And what did he do the year before?
Same thing.
The signature shot of
right.
the finals was right in LeBron's face on
right.
the pull-up three.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can shoot the pull-up three better than Kevin Durant. Nobody can shoot the unstoppable mid-range jumper better than Kevin
yeah.
Durant.
But he has no argument in this one. He is a top defender, but he's not the best on-ball defender on his own team. And then you got Paul George. You got True Holiday. You got guys that are better on-ball defenders. And then you got better rim protectors. Embiid, Gobert, Anthony Davis. Those are better rim protectors than KD, Skip. So by any metric that you look at, okay, he's the ninth best, 10th best.
Mm-hmm.
He finished ninth in the voting. So what's the argument?
Shannon, you're now up against not nice Kevin Durant in Golden State, and he's still mad.
And that's what you up against O'Bron, because
yeah.
you keep on talking, calling him Hollywood. Because you keep calling
he's
him Hollywood.
Hollywood.
Talking about, oh, Hollywood LeBron, Hollywood James.
Does he have his mat on? No, he's got his coast on.
No,
man.
No.
He's got his left coast
call
on.
Call the man Hollywood mm-hmm. James.
Mm-hmm. He's Hollywood.
No, he's not. He's LeBron. And didn't he tell you a basketball player?
Hollywood.
He told you he was a basketball.
I'm just a basketball player?
That's
more than an athlete. I'm just a basketball player. Which is it? I need to know. I thought he was more than a...
If he was a tree, a basketball tree, but he just bears a lot of different fruit.
Okay.
Oh.
Yes. Gets a lot of credits
too deep
to
me.
You know what? No mercy.
The Cowboys, sorry, they're a mess right now, Skip. They're currently 1-2 heading into their home game against the Lions, and USA Today ranked them 27th in their latest power rankings. Dak Prescott hasn't thrown for 200 yards in any game this year, but Jerry Jones still has high hopes for Dak and the rest of the team. Let's hear from Jerry.
I like our players. I like our coaching staff. I think we've got players that can, we've seen them perform the way, if they can play at those levels, then you can go right down through the positions, through the offensive line. Yes, you can go to the receivers. It's never when you lose a game and you come in on Monday, it's never as bad as it seems as far as how the players doing some of the things you do. You can always find some bright spots. The opposite is true when you win. You can go in and are surprised that you see some of the things you can improve on. That's just the nature of what we're doing. But I think your question is, have I hit the panic button? And the answer is no.
Gotta love the positivity. Okay, Shannon, actually, is it time for the Cowboys to hit the panic button?
I would be concerned because their inability, Skip, on offense to put points on the board and get chunk plays out of the passing game. Dak Prescott is 20. You love QBR. He loves
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
It's his favorite stat.
It's my new, I'm very in on the QBR.
0 to 100.
Really?
Learning a lot from you guys. Yeah.
Way to go.
He's 27th in QBR, Skip.
Yeah. After he finished third as a rookie and fourth in his second year. Go ahead.
Off to
a horrendous start, three games in. Go.
You know, just 2 years ago, Jen, I was living in Atlanta, minding my own business. But for the last 2 years, I've been out here Sunday in LA, just living my best life, having a good old time with
You are living your best life.
So, we're not going to go back to what happened. We're talking about right now. Right now, I'm sitting across from you, Skip Bayless, in Central City, having a great time. But anyway, when it's not your turn to talk, will you stop interrupting me? Dak Prescott, and stop babbling on the table. Dak Prescott is 27th in QBR. He's behind a guy named Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
He's even. Oh, what?
Get
no,
it
no,
out
no,
of your
no,
system.
No.
We're three games in.
Oh, now we're three games in.
Mm-hmm.
But if Dak Prescott was the number one in QBR, he wouldn't say we're three games in.
True.
And he's also behind Josh Allen. Skip, here's the thing.
Josh Allen, boy, he was really good last week.
Skip,
did
I hope
you see him at Minnesota?
Yes.
I hope Jerry likes these players.
Yep.
I hope Jerry likes these coaches. Because why, Skip? Why should he like them? He picked them all. Every player that's in that locker room, Jerry Jones handpicked. Everybody, the only player that's not in that locker room that Jerry Jones wanted is Jason Witten. He retired. Mm-hmm. Everybody else that's gone, Jerry wanted them gone. Everybody that's in there, Jerry wanted them. Every coach that's in that building. So I hope you like him. Now, Jerry Jones is the type of guy. Mm-hmm. He's not going to pull the fire alarm, Jenny, until the building's burned down. Mm-hmm. It's too late then.
A little late.
Now, you can talk about you're not panicking if you want to, mm-hmm. but you got no playmakers coming. Mm-hmm. You got none. Now, you're throwing the ball entirely too much. Dak Prescott is averaging 29 pass attempts a game. Zeke Elliott is getting 16 carries a game, but he's averaging 5.7 yards. Ezekiel Elliott is number one, Skip Bayless, in rush yards. You would think you would flip that. He's seventh in carries per game. You would think Zeke would be getting, because that's what Jerry said. Mm-hmm. Jerry said in the offseason, they're going to run Zeke. Zeke's going to be getting 25, 30 carries a game because, you know, he's built for it. Now, mm-hmm. he's good. But all of a sudden, you want Dak. Skip won't, because I believe you and Jerry's here. I believe you like, Jerry, we need to showcase Dak. That's not how you're going to do it, Skip. You assemble this offensive line mm-hmm. to run the football. Mm. But all of a sudden now, you want Dak to drop back and throw it like he Brady, like he Rogers. Mm. Oh, for that matter, like he Pat Mahomes. Mm. Pat Mahomes, old little Patrick, doing it big time.
Yes.
Skip, run the football with Zeke Elliott and then play action off it.
I agree.
You asking Dak to throw to those guys, Skip?
Mm-hmm.
First of
Thank
all,
you. One, correct. You True.
Got, at best case scenario, Skip, your tight end, you got one tight end that might be a third tight end on someone else's roster. Mm-hmm. Everybody else could not play.
You know what? I don't think they could make any other roster. Go ahead.
I'm going to say one of them could be a third tight end. But the receivers, they're what we call twos and fews, Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
But they're more fews than twos. Mm. So I'm not so sure.
They're threes and frees, as in they should be free agents right now.
At best case scenario, they're the third option.
Yep.
But some of those guys, Skip, got to be number one and got to be number two options. It's not defensively, they're fine because I believe they can hold teams, but they're going to play the Falcons. They're going to hold. Mm-hmm. They're going to play the Saints. Skip, you and I both know you're not winning those games 17-14. You're going to have to score points.
Mm.
And your team's in trouble. Mm. Your team's in trouble.
Just gloat, laugh, revel.
You think I take pleasure in this?
Oh, do I? You live for it.
I do.
You are living your best cowboy hating life. That's what you're living. Yeah, you got
Duval.
It. Where'd it go? Little Duval. Where is he when we need him?
Oh, he crying because your Jag took that L on Sunday.
He did.
Oh, gosh, true.
So, I should have brought one out here, but just imagine that I have a big red button right here, and I am hitting it because it's time to hit the panic button.
Skip Bayless panic?
Wow.
But it is not time to give up on my Dallas Cowboys. It's just time to hit that button because things need to start changing quickly and dramatically now.
Urgency. I hear urgency in your voice.
I don't have Sean Lee, and you know what happened last year when I didn't have Sean Lee? 1-5 happened, but I do have Leighton Vander Esch, and as much as I've ridiculed that choice, the tackling Dutchman, I think I'm going to need him to tackle some people on Sunday in Dallas at Jerry World mm-hmm. against the Detroit Lions. And he actually played very well in the second half, so I'm going to hang in there with him. I obviously don't have my center, Travis Frederick. I don't have David Irving until next week, the monster in the middle of the defensive line, and I was very disappointed in the defensive pass rush last week. But all that said, before I get to the thrust of my point, I do need to defend my man Dak Prescott because now I'm hearing, I even heard this from our man Chris Carter on First Things First just as we were about to come onto the air.
What do you say?
At 9:30 Eastern. He was bashing Dak saying, just you got to get the ball out of his hands and into Zeke's hands. But he put it in the sort of in the perspective of he just can't throw it. Well, just for the record, last year, Dak Prescott, just last year, and it was a miserable year. They went 9-7 last year. Remember, he didn't have this guy and that guy and this guy and that guy. And just for the record, last year against the Giants, he threw for 332, and then he went up to the Giants and threw for another 268. And at home against the Rams, 252, and against Green Bay, 251, and against Kansas City, 249. These were all high QBR games. Mm-hmm. So don't tell me he's not capable of throwing the ball around a little bit. We're dismissing him as if he was Tim Tebow in 2011, right?
Oh, he was right-handed Tim Tebow? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh.
But speaking of 2011, I need to see some of 2011 in this Cowboy offense because I keep saying they could easily lead the league in rushing as a team if Dak Prescott would be allowed early in the football game like he was against the New York football Giants to run the zone read or read option, whatever you want to refer to it as, because he's really good at it. And he's a little bigger than Tim Tebow because he weighs 250. And
he's not that big. He told me to tell you he's not 250. He's 230.
No, he's 235. He's 250.
Yeah, he told me to tell you that.
I can just see him. He's thick 250. He's bigger than Tebow. And I remind you, Tim Tebow took over a 1-4 football team. So that's five games. So he started 11 games and he turned that team around into a division winner that led the league in rushing with Willis McGahee. And what was their bread and butter, Mr. Sharp? Ride and decide. Either I'm going to let you have it or I'm going to pull it and I'm going to go over here because that end crashed down to stop Willis, right?
Okay.
And because of that, they led the league in rushing. But guess what? Tim Tebow averaged 10 rushes a game in those 11 games. 10 a game? Well, Dak, the most he's ever rushed was 8 times last year against Washington and against the Giants in that big game that they won on Sunday night. He rushed it 7 times. And their lone win, 7 for 45. You got to let him do it. Did he do it at Seattle? The first zone read that I saw him run was midway through the fourth quarter when it was too late, right?
But Skip, if you're going to let him run the ball 10 times, he won't be able to throw it 29 times.
Okay, well then fine. I'm fine. He doesn't need to throw it 29 times. And I told you Zeke is poised to have a monstrous year, like a record-breaking year.
He's still
year,
on a good pace.
And he's off.
He's averaging 90 yards a game.
And I told you he's going to have to run his way into condition, and it's happening right before your very eyes. He will get stronger and stronger as the year goes. So can they win running the ball mostly and playing defense? Yes, they can. So what did we see in the two losses? They were carbon copy losses to me because the same thing happened at Carolina as happened at Seattle. What were they both? The home opener for the home team, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the crowd is revved, man. They're crazy. And what happened at Seattle? Bobby Wagner comes back and Earl Thomas was hell-bent to show Jerry Jones he should have closed the deal and
bowed in front of him,
right?
He got a pick.
Okay, he bowed in front of them. So you're up against it in both places. You're up against Cam Newton, and you're up against Bobby Wagner, and especially Earl Thomas here. So what happened in the first half at Carolina? They just got mauled. The yards were 209 to 60 in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in the second half at Carolina? My defense finally said, well, we got this. And then the offense started to click a little bit.
Right.
We won just in total yards the second half, 172 to 84. And we did win the score in the second half, 8-6. I know that's not much, but the final score was 16-8. But we won the second half. Then what happened at Seattle this past Sunday? First half yards, 202 for Seattle, 92 for my pathetic offense. But what happened in the second half? My pathetic offense had 211 yards to only 93 for Russell Wilson's offense. So both times we flipped the script completely in the second half, and we won the second half 10-7 at Seattle.
But sometimes, Skip, if you give up too much ground, you're unable to come
back.
I got you.
But again, what happened against the Giants? We won the first half 10-0 because what happened right in the first series? Whoosh, he throws a bomb to Tavon and you're off to the races.
Correct.
They didn't do much in the second half, so that was the opposite.
Right.
But my point is, to use your phrase, did they get their doors blowed off at Carolina and Seattle? They did not. They were both close games. They got close at the end.
But here's the thing. The difference between, we just talked about two teams, the Patriots having adversity and the Cowboys. The Cowboys does not have the Patriots pedigree.
Obviously they don't.
So I feel more comfortable saying they should panic as opposed to.
Okay, well, I just hit my panic button. I agree. But I still think there are enough pieces in place on the defense and with the running back and the quarterback and a semblance of an offensive line.
Don't do that.
And remember, Bryce Butler, his favorite target from last year, is back.
Yeah.
Well, I assume he didn't suit up, but he's on the team. And I assume this week he will be in the game plan. He better be. You better be.
I think we get a panic button right here.
We should get a big red panic button.
Will you
could
be
get crazy right
And guess
here.
What? Will you I'll come out banging. Here on Monday? You come out here Monday, you be. It will be back.
How about that panic button?
Cowboy.
See what I can do.
No mercy.
Baker Mayfield is making his first career start Sunday in Oakland against the winless Raiders. Baker helped lead the Browns to their first win since 2016 last week. And yesterday, John Gruden made an interesting comparison when he talked about Baker. You got to hear this.
Well, he just makes a lot of plays, you know, when nothing's there. You know, he makes plays when there is something there, the pocket is clean, he can hit the open receivers. But when nobody's open and he has to move around, he has a lot of Jeff Garcia in him, He'll dive for first downs. He'll extend plays. He's got a really good competitive spirit about him. I love the way he plays. I know he'll be very excited for his first career start. We got to do a great job giving him some looks and getting some pressure on him.
Hall of Famer Rod Woodson is joining us today. Thank you for being here. But Skip over here shaking in a seat. I want to hear what you think about this Mayfield-Garcia comparison.
So I heard John Gruden utter this comparison very early this morning, and I was on the treadmill, and I just about had to hit stop for a second because I was saying, what?
Yeah.
Jeff Garcia? Seriously? I found it offensive. I found it disrespectful to Baker Mayfield. And I just have an idea that that's how Baker will take it, and he will want to take it out on John Gruden's team on Sunday, because this will be gasoline, more gasoline on his fire. I covered Jeff Garcia's team in San Francisco. I know his game, and I definitely know Baker Mayfield's game. Jeff Garcia was the classic overachiever. He did not have a very good senior year at San Jose State. He completed 55% of his passes, 21 touchdowns and 16 interceptions. But he had to take himself up to Canada for five long, that's true, a lot of years, 5 years as a Calgary Stampeder. And he made himself into an NFL quarterback. And Bill Walsh said, bring that kid down and let's give him a shot because he can play. And he could play because he made three Pro Bowls in San Francisco, which is pretty good. And I covered one game against your Raiders in 02 in your building at Oakland. Do you remember this game, an overtime game? And he stood tall in that game, and he took a lot of shots in the face. I think you were bringing the heat on him, and he kept throwing it back in your face. And he was a gutty competitor, but he was a classic overachiever. Baker Mayfield last year threw 43 touchdowns to only 6 interceptions for the University of Oklahoma and did win the Heisman Trophy. And I know that none of that equates to your game, none of it. But he was the first overall pick in the draft, and he has a much stronger arm than Jeff Garcia ever thought about having because he's got a whip. He's got more velocity, and he creates more electricity as a leader of the football team. Jeff wasn't that kind of a leader. The team didn't sort of get fueled by Jeff. Jeff just did what he did, and he did have a really good receiver named Terrell Owens who caught a whole bunch of touchdown passes from him. And in the end, it's just he overachieved, and he did make a Pro Bowl for John Gruden in Tampa, which is since that was in 07.
Well, so we're telling him he made 4 total Pro Bowls.
Okay, 4 total Pro Bowls, but he's not Baker Mayfield. That's all overachievement to me. Baker Mayfield is legit. The velocity is underrated and underestimated, and I think you're going to see that over time in the NFL. You're going to see a lot of DBs say, I didn't know the ball got there that fast. That's what's about to happen.
You make it seem like Garcia was a bum.
No, I don't.
And Skip, Jeff Garcia is
5 years in Canada.
I believe.
And then he had to go back to Canada after the NFL dumped him.
I believe Jeff Garcia is more mobile. People shouldn't disrespect Jeff Garcia because he wasn't Elway or Marino. So you said Jeff Garcia is an overachiever. If you don't mind me asking, how did Baker Mayfield get to Texas Tech?
He walked on.
If you don't mind me asking, how did he get to Oklahoma?
And then what happened? He won the Heisman Trophy. Hard to do.
Hold on, Skip.
Well, he had to walk on at OU because he got...
One would say that's overachieving. That's what one would say.
Did he look like an overachiever last Thursday night?
Skip, I'm not talking. Can I have my time? Can I get a chance? Because I'm going to have to turn this over to Woody in a second, Skip. Can you please stop interrupting me? Okay, again. Jeff Garcia was a very... Think about it. There are not very many guys can do what he did. Okay, he overachieved. He had to go to Canada. Warren Moon had to go to Canada, too.
Absolutely.
So did Mark. Warren
Moon didn't have to go because he was an overachiever.
Okay.
Trust me.
But think about this.
Because I covered his games at the University of Washington. He could flat out.
How many guys you think will go to three Pro Bowls if they have to follow Montana and Steve Young? How many guys? The next guy.
Ask Terrell Owens how that happened.
Oh, okay.
Because pretty soon Terrell Owens was campaigning for the backup quarterback to take over Tim Rattay.
And
who knew?
And you remember, before that great Super Bowl comeback by the Patriots, Jeff Garcia had one of the great playoff come-from-behind wins in NFL history. Mm. 24 points to the Giants. You remember that game, Skip?
Oh, I know.
And he was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So Everybody wants to compare. Oh, if you don't compare one of these young quarterbacks to a Brady or Drew Brees or Peyton Manning, oh, that's disrespectful. I cannot believe you did that. Come on, let him play, right?
No, I don't need him to be compared to an all-timer, but this is an overachiever.
No,
so you're dismissing him as just an undersized overachiever. That's what you're saying.
He said
that's what John is
saying. No, he didn't. Yeah, he said he has a lot of Jeff Garcia. Mm-hmm. He can make plays in and out the pockets. He'll dive for first downs. Mm-hmm. You say that's what you love about him. You love his competitiveness. Mm-hmm. That was Jenny T. Jenny T said, oh, he's so competitive. She had you don't understand it.
You know, we all like to compare.
Yes.
And if you really listen to what Gruden had to say, he just says he has a little Jeff Garcia in him.
Right.
And all he's saying is it's not his total body of work. It's not his total character. It's not his mindset.
Right.
It's he can make plays out of the pocket. When plays aren't there, when the receivers are covered by the DBs, he can get out of the pockets, make plays, just like Jeff Garcia made. So that's the comparison I'm taking.
Thank you.
Because he's not going to be – there are no two players alike in the National Football League. But we like to make comparisons to great players for some reason. Jeff Garcia in his own right was a heck of a player. I respect him as a quarterback. He done a lot of great things. But Baker Mayfield does the same things. He gets out of the pocket. He can throw on the run.
Mm-hmm.
He dives first down. He's gritty. Sanchez, he was gritty. So I think the overall comparison, what he was saying, was that he just has the same athletic tools in his body that Jeff Garcia had.
Hmm.
That's it.
What did Drew Brees say before the Saints hosted the Browns? Remember that?
What did my Boilermaker say?
He
didn't say anything good?
He said that
he volunteered on a conference call that this kid reminds him of himself.
And
except that this kid is a better athlete than I am and has a stronger arm than I am.
And he has a chance to be better than me.
He said that.
Well, hey.
Okay? That was Drew Brees. That wasn't Jeff Garcia on the conference call.
It's great that, you know, players of the present talk about players going to be coming and it's in the league right now their future, you know, outlook in football can be greater than theirs. Listen, when it's all said and done, this guy that's talking about Drew Brees, he's going to be donning a gold jacket more than likely.
Oh, is he?
So,
I mean, I'm
is he going to be better? Is he going to be that good where he's going to be a part of the 300-some-odd guys that ever play football?
600 touchdown passes. Almost 80,000 yards. The dude has five.
The most completions.
Most complete, so that's going to be probably 7,000.
He could win MVP this year.
Yes.
He could.
The dude has more 5,000-yard passing season than the rest of the NFL has combined. So that's what Baker Mayfield has to do.
Right.
Okay, but what did we say the other day about Drew Brees? He was very blessed to be able to play for Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Who wants to throw it all over the lot all game long, right?
I played against Drew Brees.
Yeah.
I did not see this.
Okay.
When he was in San Diego, we beat the brakes off him. Because,
mm-hmm.
Skip, you got to realize, they got the number one overall draft pick, Eli Manning, when Drew Brees was the starting quarterback. And he had LaDainian Tomlinson.
That is correct.
So I think some people forget that Drew Brees started in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew Brees was not the Drew Brees that we see now.
Today.
Because I was in the same division, the AFC West, with San Diego, and we played them. And he was not this. He wasn't even close to this.
Okay. And he's saying this kid could be better than I am because he has the tools to be better than I am.
Well, his first couple of years, he could be better than Drew. Overall, I don't know. Skip,
He's a better overall athlete than Drew. I mean, I watched Drew this whole time at Purdue. He's an overall better athlete than Drew. Mm-hmm. But at the end result is that Drew developed and kept developing as he was in the league. That's the difference between great players and average players.
Right.
They keep developing as they get in the league because everybody's talented that come in. And then the great ones just keep rising and rising and rising and rising. And then the other guys plateau, and then these guys keep rising, and that's the 300 and some odd guys who
because you have to reinvent yourself. Because now when they go game plan to stop you.
Mm-hmm.
So now how do you reinvent yourself every single year to do something a little better or to add a new bag, a new trick to your bag?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody can't get in that bag and pull them things out
like
LBJ. Like me and LBJ.
Now we got to get back to that.
LBJ. Yeah. But Skip, stop thinking it's disrespectful.
Did you fear Jeff Garcia when you game plan for him?
We try to keep him in the pocket.
Yeah.
You know, we game plan Jeff. It was like keep him in the pocket. Once he gets out of the pocket, unscheduled first downs, that's when offenses, and that's when they start having success against defenses. And that's the same thing that Baker Mayfield does. He can get out of the pocket. He can make those unscheduled first downs with his feet. Mm-hmm. And if you start watching games, when quarterbacks make first downs with their feet, what they're not, that's not a, like a game plan. Like, we're gonna get, outside of Cam running the quarterback sweep and all that. But normally, those are unscheduled downs. And when they make those first downs with their feet, that just adds the percentage of winning for that football team.
Okay. So I watched Jeff Garcia throw a lot of wobblers that got caught because he could see it.
It's tough throwing in San Francisco. Skip, you know that wind is
wet, muddy.
Yeah.
It's over at the old Candlestick. That was a nice stadium.
Now, you know Candlestick.
Candlestick was a nice
basically was always a swamp.
It was.
But it was nice to play in.
And I loved it.
It was nice to play
in. I just loved it. It had great mystique to it. All I see Baker Mayfield throw are bullet spirals because he's got a whip, man. He's got a whip.
We'll see in December.
Mm-hmm. Maybe bullet spirals. Yeah. When he has to go to Baltimore. Because you know that we're playing the AFC North. That's what we do know because we played in that division. Mm-hmm. Oh, it gets really cold and windy in Cincinnati, in Baltimore, in Cleveland.
One of the coldest, windiest games I ever covered in college football was in Lubbock, Texas at Texas Tech. It was freezing. The wind chill was way below zero.
Texas Tech?
Yeah. This isn't Minnesota freezing. This isn't Cleveland freezing.
Me, Skip.
Those northers that blow across those plains.
But see the difference between college and
ask
NFL.
Ask Joe Montana about the game he played at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. Yeah. Ask him how cold
in
that was.
In the NFL, in college, they play for, like, books. Tuition.
Yeah.
In the NFL, they play for mortgages. Huh. They play for children's college funds.
Yep.
That's a whole different ball game, Skip Bayless.
Well,
so we're going to find out.
Yeah. Well, you're betting he's going to bust.
Now, see, there you go. See.
But that's what you took the bust out of everything he just said.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's how he does it.
That's how you do it.
No, what? Yeah, but you make it seem like Jeff Garcia is just a bum.
I don't think he's a bum. I like
four him. Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
So in order for Baker to be ready,
he got a lot out of a little.
Baker got to get to five Pro Bowls.
Mm. Okay. He's got a shot.
Five Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
Let's start with a win Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
All we know is that he beat Drew Stanton out for the backup.
We do know that. No mercy. Tom Brady and the Patriots struggled big time. Sunday night's huge upset loss to the Lions. Brady only had 133 passing yards. Rob Gronkowski finished with just four catches. Yesterday, Brady said the team isn't taking advantage of defenses that focus on Gronk. Let's hear what he had to say.
It's really been, 3 weeks in a row where he's gotten the majority of the coverage focused on him. If I was a defensive coach, I'd be focusing my attention on him too. So it just comes down to us getting him out of that by getting the ball in other parts of the field, different areas, and we just have failed to do that. I think we can play a lot better, but thinking and doing are two totally different things, and we have to go prove it on the practice field and gain some confidence, and then it's got to carry over to the game. Gronk's going to get coverage, gives other players opportunities, and at certain times we've done a good job with that, and then last night I just didn't think we did a good job with it at all.
Well, someone predicted that loss, and his name is Rob Parker, and he comes in chest held high, ready for the day, looking forward to being back. I'm going to give you your moment, but since you did win, I'm going to give skip the floor. To
all right, I just
here.
Want to make sure you guys remembered that, right? It's like taking candy from a baby.
I want to publicly congratulate Rob Parker for winning his first, maybe it's your second dinner that you've ever won from me, but I knew I was doomed because who jumped in and bet you first? He did.
So that was it?
He jinxed me. And he jumped in and I should have said, I'm out, but I didn't and I accepted
it. Shannon,
I was trying to get my wings back, Skip.
Well, Shannon, you got to admit, I was confident. I wasn't looking for points. Nope. I told you what was going to happen.
Yeah, you did.
Got it.
Give me.
I was here. Well done.
You. All right, Skip.
You finally get one right.
Yes.
Out of the 300 he got wrong, Skip.
That's all right. I'll take that one. That was a big one Sunday night. I couldn't sleep after the game.
Sure you could not. So, Rob Parker, you were correct. Bill Belichick's defense, the Genius's defense, is a disaster. You are correct that Matthew Stafford finally has, what would you call it, a signature win?
Yes.
The sad part, though, Skip, is after this season, it might not be because the Patriots could finish 7-9, and then you would look back on this win, and you would
say, Skip!
You would say this wasn't a big win.
Could we put a dinner on that?
What, a 7-9?
9-7.
Could be so, or 8-8. How about 8-8?
Okay, I'll do 8-8 for a dinner. Thank you very much.
That's where I got the Patriots.
Deals around here.
Thank you.
That defense will not be fixed this year. Mm.
You could be right, but the quarterback is still the reigning MVP, and he still looks every bit as good as he was last year. But back to Jenny's question, I was very surprised by what I heard from Tom Brady because he never, ever even treads into this territory of pointing fingers. But he, between the lines, pointed a finger and said, they're taking Gronk away from me, and I got to get somebody who can get open somewhere else on the football field. And we have gone three straight weeks in which nobody has consistently been able to get open for me. Why would that be? Well, maybe it's because your head coach traded Brandon Cooks. I still don't get that one, but he did. And the Rams immediately said, thank you very much. We will give him his money, long-term money. And his coach let Danny Amendola go to Miami. Way to go. And Edelman obviously is gone for one more game. Then we'll see if it starts to change after that. And Deion Lewis, who was a nice little target out of the backfield, is gone. And all of a sudden, Malcolm Mitchell was cut. And we can go
and
right.
Brent was cut.
Jordan Matthews, my guy from Vanderbilt, was cut. He's now an Eagle. And Eric Decker just flamed out because he just couldn't stay healthy. But that's it. So you're winding up with Chris Hogan as your go-to guy. That's your weapon now for Tom Brady, other than Gronk. If you put three people on Gronkowski and you dare them to try to get open with Chris Hogan, he's not been getting
or
open.
Philip Dorsett.
Or Philip Dorsett, who can fly, but he can't run routes and catch the football or get open deep. And
well, that's not good for a receiver.
I would say that's not a good thing. That's why Indy said, thank you very much. We will take Jacoby Brissett straight up for Philip Dorsett. And then you've got the third receiver is a kick returner, Cordarrelle Patterson, who is a kick returner. That's all you need to know. I just described a receiving core that might even be worse than my Dallas Cowboys receiving core. Seriously.
Yeah, but they're not because they got Gronk. But Skip, he did hedge it. He says, we. He means.
I know, but for him, that's strong.
He's like, yeah, we need to do better. We need to. No.
Okay.
No.
That's for him either a cry for help or just flat out. I'm doing my best I can with what I have to work with.
But you got to remember, Skip, lately this Tom Brady has been very open about speaking his feelings. Remember the Jim Gray interview? Mm-hmm. So he's starting to get more comfortable where instead of being the company guy and towing company lines, he's starting to branch out.
Why is that?
But he should feel bulletproof. He's got the endorsement of the owner.
Yes.
He's beaten the head coach a couple times now.
He has.
So he has the upper hand.
He's not at open war with the coach, but it's a cold war.
Yeah.
And it's quiet behind the scenes. And I think those were little shots fired at the head coach.
You know what? Go ahead, Rock.
No, I was going to say, this has been the elephant in the room to me as I've watched the last 3 weeks, and I know that they don't have a couple of the other guys, but I've always thought, why let Gronk beat you? Do whatever you have to do, and let those other guys, the guys you always say he picked up from 7-Eleven, let those guys get open and make those plays and do this. When the Lions did that, it was great. Gronk was out of the game.
Right.
He was just a non-factor. Mm-hmm. And why not do this? And I get it. Brady, those words were basically, I don't have anybody. I just don't have anybody else.
And what did I tell you?
And I can't make it happen without.
I figured New England, because Detroit had given up 190 yards rushing at San Francisco, I thought they would just pound the ball. Well, they start Sony Michel, their rookie, who had been hurt.
And they tried to.
And they tried, but he's not big enough. He doesn't run with the authority that LeGarrette Blount runs with, or even Rex Burkhead. And then he got hurt again and was gone for the rest
of the Skip,
game.
But, Skip, in that game, tell me if you thought the same thing. There were a couple third and two plays where I'm thinking Brady should pass the ball, and they ran, like, all three times and got stopped. Yeah. I just don't understand.
They got stopped.
Am I right on third and two? You're not confident Brady can make a two-yard pass to get a first down to keep the chains moving?
With Edelman, he would be.
Well, Edelman's coming back, Skip. And so when Edelman comes back, now you move Chris Hogan back to his natural position.
That is correct.
Hogan works best against the third and the fourth corner.
I agree.
As opposed to the first and the second corner.
Yeah. Makes a big difference.
Right, makes a big difference. So now you get guys back in their natural position. If you double Gronk, that means Edelman's going to be one-on-one with your probably second or third corner or a linebacker. Hogan gets to get the third or the fourth corner now. So you get guys back in their natural position.
Yep.
And not to say Josh Gordon, but I didn't say him because he's only played 11 games the last 5 years.
I
don't put any confidence in him until he starts playing and playing consistently. Then I will mention him into the equation. But right now, Skip, that and I've always said this, why are you continuing to let Gronk will send you to the trauma center? These other guys give you paper cuts. I'm not worried about them. If Chris Hogan catches for 200 yards and beat me, I can live with it.
Mm-hmm.
If Philip Dorsett catches for whatever, I can live with it. But I know what 87 can do.
Right.
And you fooling yourself if you think you got one guy that can cover him. Tom Brady, Tom Brady's not going to let that
happen. And I assume Matt Patricia really knows what 87 yes. would do, right?
Yes.
The other part is I just thought Tom Brady was out of sync, too, even when he had some opportunities. I don't think he played well at all. They were out of that game almost from the very beginning.
Well, it hurt. Right? It hurt when they went three and out. So he wasn't able to stay on the field. And what the Lions did is that they controlled the clock and they kept him out of sync. It wasn't like he went three and out. Lions went three and out. He's right back on the field to try to get a rhythm, Skip. Mm-hmm. They possessed the ball. That's why they almost had a 2-1 time of possession battle.
39 minutes for Detroit, 21.
Yeah. No, it was amazing.
It's hard to get in sync and in rhythm when you have the ball for 21 minutes. And that throw he made to James White where he avoided the rusher and whipped him a little sidearm spiral yeah. for the touchdown, that was good.
Yeah. The that intentional grounding call, were you shocked that they called that? Or I mean, by rule, it was.
That was a Super Bowl call.
It was a Super Bowl
right?
call. Right? Yep.
Yeah, but it was right.
It was the right call. He was inside the box, right? Mm-hmm. And there was no receiver.
Sometimes the receiver can screw you. You get called. The quarterback throws it. The receiver breaks the route. It's like, that's not what he was supposed to do. But the official doesn't know. He doesn't know the game plan that the wide receiver was supposed to continue. All he sees is that you're throwing the ball. It goes 20 feet over the guy's head and 50 yards passing. They're like, nah, you're just trying to, you know, board yep. the sack.
I really believe, though, I don't think the defense gets fixed this year. I think this team could
just
be 7-9, 8-8.
To be objective about it, Trey Flowers is their best pass rusher.
Yeah.
He couldn't play the other night, and Patrick Chung is their smartest safety.
Well, I know he was out as well.
He's pretty smart, too. But Patrick Chung is a veteran sort of quarterback.
But he's a very good slot defender. Yeah, and so now when you lose one of your guys, you got to bring guys that you really don't want to play. He's really a special teams guy. Mm-hmm. And then you're asking him to come on the field and play a role that you really wasn't counting on. And so that's what happens. You try to get as many of those guys that you really don't want to see on the field as the opposing team that Coach Belichick doesn't mm-hmm. want on the field unless it's special teams. You try to get those guys on the field.
And isn't this the first time since 2002 that they've had double-digit losses back-to-back? And they didn't make the playoffs the last time that happened mm-hmm. back in 2002. So all the writing's on the wall.
I give you all of the above. I give you this doesn't feel like 2014 when they lost at Kansas right. City in game 4. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm on to Cincinnati. Belichick did. And they were onward and upward. Right. They went and won the Super Bowl. It's not like that. It's not like last year when on opening night they got blown off their own field right. and then they got to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like that. The defense isn't as fixable. Right. And I'm still convinced that Bill Belichick is sort of rebelling.
No, he's not. Rebelling. Skip, stop saying
he's
rebelling. That.
Will they beat Miami?
Sabotage-y.
3-0?
Yes.
I think they will beat Miami.
Beat the brakes off.
And I'm also here to announce that Dallas will beat Detroit this Sunday. Dallas will beat Detroit.
That wouldn't shock me one bit, Skip, because Detroit.
Might shock him.
This was not this wasn't a turning point for the Lions. It was a desperation win.
Cowboys might win.
So that their season wasn't
might
over.
Win?
No, the they Cowboys will beat the Lions.
They might win.
On the road, the Lions are not a good road team.
But Matthew Stafford going home. He
loves
about
it.
100 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get them.
Yep.
Got new baby.
You like it?
Yep.
The new baby has something to do with winning the football game.
Yep.
I told you I would put no dew on Dallas at Seattle, but I will definitely put dew on Detroit at Dallas.
I got to look at the record.
I will definitely
we'll do that
it.
At some point.
We
okay.
can do that. It's coming. You better
coming.
Get ready for it.
Shannon, you're going to go to Wingstop with me? Come on, I want you to sit in the booth with me.
You keep getting taken to the cleaners by Rob Parker.
3-0 against Shannon.
I get it. What?
Jordan's. 300 wings and now 20 wings. I'm 3-0 against the big fella.
I get it back.
You get it back. You keep saying
that. Are you going to go with me? I want you to go with me.
Casinos, that's what they do.
You
go on a wild rush.
But you're a classic easy mark. That's what you become.
Okay.
Easy mark.
He laughing now. He key-key-keying now.
Huh? Oh, well, you come in all confident.
Hey, I feel good. Come on. You're a Hall of Famer.
And then guess what he's going to say? Why do you need it? You don't need the money. Why do you need my money?
No, that's not the case. If I lose, Skip, I'll pay eventually, right?
Eventually.
No, they don't be eventually.
When we going to lunch? When we going to lunch?
I'll get you back.
I want you to go with me.
No.
Oh, breakfast?
No, we do.
Rob, he owes me 11 cases of Diet Dew and $1 billion.
Is that right?
$1 billion.
I'm sorry.
I'm pretty sure I will receive that money.
Probably not.
Yeah, you're going to get it.
Unless you get it back in some way.
When you hit the lottery.
Yep.
You never know. All right, Rob. Well, You make it
fun. I still feel so good. Oh, that was just it.
That was wrong. Like you never won a bet before.
No, but that was everybody, Skip. You admit it. Everybody in the country picked the Patriots for that game. You know that.
You ain't win no money on it. All you wanted is a dinner. You should have went to Vegas.
I should have called my buddy Bernie in Vegas and have him put some money down for
you
me.
You should have.
You won over this table.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Way to go, Rob. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then. Facts, sports, one of one.